Then we have a different problem, don't we?
Then we gotta figure out how to fix it.
But can we fix it in post?
I don't know. Depends how bad the audio is.
I don't know.
Do you think we're being connected, but like, are we filming this by a jet engine or?
Probably not filming it by a jet engine. That would have been smart.
Well, I mean, that's usually a good plan.
That's usually good.
Smack Fathers. They revolutionized the podcast talking about SmackDown and Hooters and Kitchener Airport. The Smack Fathers, they're in the Kitchener Airport and wondering what the fuck they're doing with their lives. Eating wings with bones or no bones. Depends on what you're into.
Greg, do you think that we have to talk about our trip as well during this podcast?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
All right, you're going to have to use your big boy voice while we're recording. You know that, right?
All
right. You can't just, like, mumble through this podcast.
I can't mumble through this podcast. Okay. Whenever you're ready to get going.
Smack Daddies. They're in Ontario. And once again, me and Randy are going to go and party with them in Ontario. And hopefully Greg got some sleep because we know everyone was tired. Fuck Kitchener.
So don't keep talking or something.
Well, we might have to stop to, like, use the bathroom, or the doorbell may ring again, or Greg may be counting his 50s and his 60s.
I was just trying to put this in my wallet so I didn't lose it or forget it for later. I was always like, I'm just going to email it to Randy.
Okay.
That make life easy.
Because we owe money for tickets?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
But I was like, if I give him all my cash, which, I mean, is probably preferable for Randy because I know how he's like.
He likes cash?
Yeah, but I don't know if there's a bank machine that's not going to charge me like $100 to take money out near here.
Is there a CIBC?
Scotia.
That's too bad.
So.
I know there's a CIBC machine near here.
I was going to say, I think there's one in the Shoppers.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I might run over and grab some more cash.
Yeah.
We've been recording this whole time. Just
oh, sweet.
So we could talk about money and drugs and.
Good.
All right, I get it. Let's start. Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for The Hub. I am Brad the Dad, and running Shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we are here in our hotel room. So I'm going to do my best in post to fix this. I'm still learning how to use Adobe Audition, so I'll take tips from people. But yeah, we also have a time crunch, Greg, because it is 11:09.
It is.
Randy and Eric will be here probably by 12:30.
Pushing one,
and then we're heading over to, what is today? I forget.
Today is Saturday. This is Elimination Chamber Day, and we're heading over to the Locked In.
Okay, yeah, so we'll see Brady and Davey from Poison Rana, and we'll probably see a lot of other podcasters from across Toronto. We're hoping to see old friends and new friends, and shake hands, kiss babies, and bring the peace and positivity of the East Coast podcasting champions of the world across Toronto.
Yeah.
It's funny doing this in person, because I don't think, in all the years we've done this, we've only done this once before in person, and it did not go well because of technical difficulties.
Yeah, we don't do this in person a lot. You're right. Yeah, once or twice. That's about it.
And we live like 15 minutes away, but usually we're recording it at a god-awful hour.
That's true. Like, so here's the thing. We have done it more in person because remember we did our road diaries when we went to Boston. Oh,
that's right. We did that one. And then we did a run-in on an AEW podcast and a few other things.
Yeah. So,
speaking of road diaries, so we're going to get to SmackDown. I will try and remember in the notes. So we're starting our road diaries, Greg, at 3:27-ish.
Ish. All right.
Because I'm going to have to put in music and stuff in post.
All right. Sounds good.
So I don't have my soundboard, so we'll probably have a lot of sound effects in this, just some fun music in between. Okay, so Greg, yesterday, the 28th of February, we were scheduled to fly out of Halifax, Nova Scotia, heading for Toronto.
Yes.
And you picked me up at?
About 4:20 in the morning.
Okay.
Because our flight was at 6:30 to go to Ottawa.
Yep.
To make it to Billy Bishop here in Toronto.
Okay. So we were doing the cow patch as it was. And so Greg picks me up.
Right.
That mm-hmm. goes smoothly.
Yep. Yep. I even picked you up early. Like, I was there. I was waiting for you. Everything was good. Because I got up at 3:30 in the morning, grabbed a shower, and Got ready to start my day.
So I did not get a shower. I did not shave.
Fatal flaw.
Fatal flaw. I went down and had what my slightly racist friend from rural Nova Scotia would call a Puerto Rican shower, which was basically I took a face cloth and wiped myself down and took a baby wipe and wiped myself down.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And then I put on some deodorant and I brushed my teeth and I jumped into Greg's car and we got to the airport, parked.
Yep.
Park and ride was great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we got to the airport and we're sitting at the terminal.
Yep.
And you said, and you made a fatal mistake, my friend.
I did. I made a fatal mistake.
It's time for you to make your confession.
Yeah, my confession was our flight plans had us getting here to Toronto at about 10:30. I prearranged with the hotel for us to have an early check-in. We could come here, have a nap, kind of rest up before we knew it was going to be a very busy day yesterday. And I explained said plan to Brad.
And I sat on the plane chatting with the guy next to me. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about wrestling. And we were having a great day.
You definitely were. I was kind of, I had my headphones on. I had How I Met Your Mother on. I was getting ready to probably have a nap. Was hoping, like, you know, once they closed the doors and pushed back, I would be all good. And then they started the port engine on that
propeller.
Beechcraft. Yeah, the propeller. And then it shut down. Then they started it again, and it shut down. And then they started it a third time, and it shut down. So...
Oh, don't worry, Greg. You just keep
talking.
Okay,
I keep talking. All right. So with that, the captain comes on and tells us, hey, listen, we're getting an indication off our engine. We need to get our maintenance team to come out and take a look at it on a kind of wet and rainy Friday morning as we sit on the plane. And after that point, or once they did the third restart of that engine, I said to Brad, I'm like, we're not going to Toronto. 100% said, we are not going to Toronto. So the maintenance crew came out. They lifted up the engine, tried to reset that check engine light that was going on that plane. And he came into the plane and told the captain, yeah, nope, this needs to go to the hangar. And so they decided at this point they were going to offload all of us, offload our luggage, and had us go inside and wait at the gate for further instructions. And I know full well what that is code for.
You're screwed.
You're screwed because they told us, hey, your luggage is going to be downstairs in the arrivals area, on the arrivals belt, which means you're leaving security. So I was like, all right, we are done. And we had to then wait for the rebooking from Porter to get us to Toronto.
Oh, I still have that on my phone, just so you know.
Okay. Yeah. So this is now, we are now hitting at about 7:30 in the morning. Brad's going to get exact times on us now as he goes back, as I'm kind of stalling.
You are pissed at this point.
I was, at this point, I was like,
let's talk about our feelings.
This trip was not going to happen.
Greg's talking about his feelings.
Good. Yeah. So we got a time on this yet?
Yeah, we were rescheduled to fly.
No. What time did this happen in the morning?
Oh, the time frame we got rescheduled was at 7:15.
7:15 in the morning. Okay. So we get our emails and we find out, okay, you're not leaving till tomorrow. We're like, okay, well, maybe we can still make this work. It's like, okay, you've got an 8:15 flight tomorrow morning to Trudeau in Montreal.
So not ideal, but...
Not ideal, but like, okay, we can still get there and make it in time and everything is good. And then we see the Toronto to... I'm sorry, the Montreal to Toronto leg of this trip. And it doesn't leave Montreal until like 8 p.m. and gets in here at like 9 p.m. or something ridiculous, right?
Yeah, we were better off at that point taking the flight to Montreal and driving. We were better off at that point driving to Montreal, saving the flight money, and sleeping in Montreal and driving to Toronto. Like, that was a better option.
At this point, I'm saying to Brad, like, Brad was legitimately trying to, well, let's rent a car and drive the 16 and a half hours to Toronto. And I'm like, dude, we are now pushing 9 a.m. If we had started this drive at 4 and, like, I'm now most of my way through the mid-province of New Brunswick, we could be talking about something different. But right now, I do not have it in me at 9 o'clock in the morning to get ready and leave and drive to bloody Toronto.
So what we decide... So then, So at this point, we go and visit the nice people at Porter at the mm-hmm. desk because the people on the phone line were useless.
Absolutely.
And the nice lady there says she can't really do anything. They don't book there. But she said, try calling again. So Greg and I go back over. We said, we're calling. And then this nice lady comes wind sprinting because we've told her our whole story. We're going to get meet Randy and Donnie and Eric and all of the people that I should have gone like Randy and Eric and then Donnie. No offense,
and,
Donnie.
And
Jimmy later. And yeah, mm-hmm. Like we're going to meet the guys from Poison Rana. We might see the guys from Post today.
No.
Who knows who we're going to see? We were just really excited to come and see our friends and give hugs. And we have never been in the same place at the same time, all together. It's never happened. So now it's about to happen. And it doesn't. So at this point, that lady, I've told this lady that my whole heart, like Greg and I, story, I'm almost teary. So whether I'm actually teary or I'm just crying on cue, I don't really know. But the point was that she came wind sprinting over and said, hey, Flair has some flights. So immediately I start looking at the flight. Greg's still on hold. And then when he gets off hold, he tries to book the flight. It turns out that the flight that I booked to Toronto.
Yeah, Brad managed to get his booking in from Halifax to Toronto on Flair. So he was getting here, which was fine and good. And as I go to select my seat for Toronto, the date doesn't exist.
And then we realize that he can't. So we run over to the Flair Airlines people, uh-huh. and they explain a few things.
Like how Toronto's flight is oversold.
So that's why Greg can't get on.
So I can't book it because there's no room left on this damn thing.
No room left on the damn thing. So, but the good news, Greg,
yeah.
is that I paid slightly more than you did.
Yes, yes.
And I got the flight to Toronto. However,
what they did tell us is that there's a flight to Kitchener-Waterloo from Halifax on Flair. Now, I'm hoping you're sat down at this point, because if you didn't know Kitchener-Waterloo had an airport, neither did they.
Okay, so if you noticed, if you knew there was a Kitchener-Waterloo airport before this podcast, I want you to put just a K in the chat below our posting.
Because no one knew about this freaking airport.
There are people who live in Kitchener-Waterloo who do not know this airport exists. Anyways, it was fine.
It's not an airport.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Dude. Spoilers.
We'll get to that.
Anyways, I got eventually this nice lady, even though the call center didn't open for another 2 hours, calls into somebody, gets me moved to the yes. same flight as Greg.
So what's really funny though, so I'm there at the desk trying to make the booking on my phone, and this lady, she's like, you look real familiar, like I know you. So I have this connection with this
random lady
at Flair. And then so she's like, okay, like there's lots of empty room on the flight to Kitchener. And, you know, the initial agent told Brad, you've got to wait till 10 o'clock for a flight that leaves at 10:50 to see if someone in the call center could do it. But this lady, she took pity on Greg. She took pity on Brad. And she's like, let me see what I can do. So I booked my seats on Flair to Kitchener-Waterloo. She managed to pull some strings, get Brad reassigned to Kitchener-Waterloo. And with that, we let Randy and Eric know that, hey, listen, we're going to be going to Kitchener-Waterloo. Heaven help us. And so that's where we were headed to make this trip happen.
So, and the other beautiful thing was, Greg is missing it out. And I may try and make a t-shirt when I get home. I am officially now Gregory's emotional support human.
That's very true. Yeah. Yep. That was the lady's way. She's like, when I call in, Greg, you are very anxious about flying and you need to have Brad on that flight.
As your emotional support human.
So Brad this weekend is Greg's emotional support human. Normally I have an emotional support dog who is abandoning me right now. But Brad is my emotional support human for the weekend.
So and if you're getting bonus sound effects of us slurping and drinking, we're not using the mute button, so screw it.
Yep, screw it.
So we get to the bustling metropolis of Kitchener-Waterloo, and I'm chatting with this nice lady who's from our neck of the woods. She's originally from Antigonish, Nova Scotia, which you can Google. It's the St. FX University.
Fine town.
Great place.
Mm-hmm.
And she says there's a private airport that flies people who go to golf into rural Cape Breton. Mm-hmm. And this little place called Port Hood.
Yep.
A blip on the map. And she says the airport at Port Hood is bigger than the airport we're going to in Kitchener-Waterloo.
This is a fact.
It was definitely a fact when we arrived there. But we were at the Kitchener-Waterloo International Airport, Gregory.
Yes, as we get ready to land in a farmer's field in Kitchener-Waterloo, they come on and tell us to collect our baggage in the domestic arrival terminal. And I'm like, what in the actual fuck? This place can't have a domestic and an international arrivals because it's the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, I was expecting our luggage to be in a farmer's barn. Like, this literally is where we are in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, and in fairness, later in the day, we end up at a bar having supper with the boys. And the bar we were at was bigger than the domestic terminal arrival. There was
And had more food options.
Yeah, there were. So we arrive, we come out, we go outside to walk down a ramp.
Yep.
And then we walk into the terminal. There are two places where you can pick up baggage. Mm-hmm. There is one car rental, four vending machines.
Yep.
One selling Pepsi products, one selling Coke products.
Right.
One selling a variety of chips and chocolate bars, one selling slightly healthier things. A place you can pay for parking. A male and female bathroom with, I think, about two urinals and six toilets. I don't know for the women's side.
There was two toilets and three urinals in the men's.
All right. And then we're going to say about the same number of toilets in the women's. And that's it, dude. That's it. There was nothing there.
The ramp to get out of the place wasn't wide enough for you to put two people on it at the same time.
We died laughing. And then we fought through the crowds of arrivals and found the MVP of the trip so far. Eric Blondone.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Who drove from Milton
to Kitchener-Waterloo. After he had to Google the place to try to find it. And we drove by their value parking lot at the Kitchener-Waterloo Airport, which is literally an unplowed parking lot that no one is in because no one knows the fucking airport is there.
And 10 abandoned houses.
Yep.
It made us feel really at home because it was like rural Nova Scotia.
It was something.
So, anyways.
And by this point, we're now at about 12:30 Eastern.
And so we drive over to Casa de Randy. We pick Randy up. And then our day begins. There's the ceremonial exchanging of gifts.
That was.
Hospitality is had.
Yes, yes. The boys are enjoying. We'll leave that. Maybe yeah, the boys can talk about that on their podcast. But there was definitely some exchanging of some gifts.
Yeah. And we then had some delicious beers, and then we went over to... So I've never been to a Hooters. I'm making this confession right now.
I had never been as well, but myself and Randy and Eric conspired a little bit. And all I've told Brad at this point was that we were going to go to a location for food where we could scout future WWE superstars. And Brad had no idea what we were talking about.
No, I'm very naive. And so we went to Hooters for wings, and the guys may have gone for something else.
Wings and beer. That's what we went for.
And I got to try a Jager Bomb, which I've never tried before.
You did? Yeah, you got a Jager Bomb. I got Molson Export, which is something I love. I asked for Eric or Randy to pick me up a case from the hotel room, but was told that it has been sold in Ontario since 1972. yet, I go to Hooters and I'm able to buy it. So I don't know what the hell they're on.
And Donnie joins us, and we get to meet Donnie for the first time, which was lovely. And we heard we heard some great stories, and we talked about what to expect later in the evening. Donnie kind of gave us an insider's perspective, because if you don't know from listening to the main show, Donnie is usually on a Friday night, especially when the show's running, at Superkicked.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But Donnie was on media duty last night, so yes. We went over and watched the booking of Superkicked, which was a live wrestling show.
Yes, we went to Superkicked last night. So at this point, we left our hotel room at 7 because we were told, Donnie told us the show is at 7 and we had to go and go to a store for Randy along the way. So we were like, okay, cool. By the time we get there, it'll be 7:30. It'll be fine. We'll miss the first, you know, maybe match or so, but sure, it'll be fine. And by this point, again, we got up at, or I got up at 2:30 Eastern. So at this point, I am now starting to feel the effects of the day.
And Greg's getting grumpy.
And Greg is getting grumpy.
And more grumpy than usual.
Like, yeah. I hadn't even started SmackDown at this point.
And I started getting hyped.
Brad was definitely the hype man, but I was at this point starting to be like, okay, I'm kind of starting to get done. That nap that I had wanted earlier in the day that I didn't get, I really needed. Like, I probably full-on toddler. And I tried to sleep on that flight, that Flair flight. I just could not get myself comfortable enough to sleep, but...
So this is the difference between you and I. I probably got a solid... I got to chat with a nice lady from Antigonish, but I got... Yeah. She said I was asleep until... Probably we were about 45 minutes left in the flight, so I got over an hour and a half of sleep.
Yes,
and that is the difference of today. Also, my meds had worn off at that point, so I was all like, "Wee!"
Yeah,
and I realized in hindsight, I had Red Bull.
It did give you vertigo. Yeah, no, I had not. And at this point, we get to Superkicked at 7:30, and we stand outside in what we call a Toronto snowstorm, apparently, as that's what we kept hearing about, this big snowstorm that was going to hit Toronto yesterday.
It was hail, dude.
It was hail. And we stood outside in the hail for an hour, waiting for these doors to open for the 8 o'clock show, not 7 o'clock show.
This is when I wish Donnie was there, because Donnie's a friend. He would have let us in. He may have misdirected us, but in his defense, if he arrives at 7, Donnie gets into the building. But we're just guests. So we
stood outside in the cold for an hour, which was fine. I was okay with that. And then we go inside to watch Superkicked. And it was a very...
You're missing the very best part before the show started. We got to meet the one and only Lincoln Allen.
We did, yes. Crazy Kyle came out to greet us for a moment.
Kayfabe.
No, that's his wrestling name now.
I know he's Crazy Kyle, but Lincoln Allen is the technical producer for the main show. And he was so cool, and it was so nice. And he was like a little bit he broke kayfabe a little bit. He's like, hey, boys. I was supposed to wrestle tonight, but you're in for a treat. I'm going to be wrestling. And I was like, yes!
Yeah.
You get to see professional wrestling?
He was in the semi, yeah. It was good. So, we go inside and we all gather around the rail. And we stand up there at Superkicked for, I don't know, we were there for what, 2.5 hours? Three hours?
It was a great show. So the first, I will say, the best part about Superkicked was the atmosphere at the beginning. They have some libations going. And they have music, and it's kind of like a club. You come out, you hang out. It's in the artsy part of Toronto at the Great Hall. And there's a lower section where it's general admission. So you stand around, you have to be close to the ring. And then we were up at the upper balcony,
yeah.
And we watched a series of matches. I don't like want to go through match by match, but I think we could go through some general impressions of the show.
Yeah, we can. So we get there and we see a title belt suspended above the ring.
Ooh, yeah. So we're getting a ladder match.
We see one ladder set up and literally this title is suspended, I would say, maybe 10 feet above the ring. Like, someone who was tall probably could have reached that belt without the ladder. Like, legitimately, it was not that far. And the ring announcer actually made a joke about that when he did the announcement of the ladder match.
700 feet
above the ring. But, yeah, it was... It was so low that it literally got hit through the night by people doing moves.
And the big ladder they brought out for the big spots at the end of the ladder match.
Caught it on the belt. But, like, I mean, you literally could have... You had to... If you had gone to the top of that ladder, you would have had to crouch over to bend down to get the damn thing. Like,
on the big ladder? For sure. Highlights. Tag match was really good. It was really good. The local workers were great. Women's match was... There was a young lady there... There was two wrestlers in the match, and the there was one other lady there that she was really good.
Yeah, I don't know her name, and I apologize because I couldn't hear a lot of the announcing there. The volume was too high for the music for me to be able to determine what was being said. But she was fantastic. I know her opponent was Taylor Rising, so yeah. it was the lady who fought against her. She's got it, honestly. I really, really liked her. And I think that you could see her moving to, you know, kind of next level
very soon. And yeah. Then the main event was a pretty good match.
Semi-main first.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about
semi-main. Yeah. The semi-main was...
supposed to be Durag.
It's supposed to be a character named Durag taking on the 420 champion, whose name escapes me. But they... what is it they called him? The Hemp Break Kid? Sean...
No, Chris Chambers.
Chris Chambers. I was going to say, I want to say Sean Chambers. Chris Chambers.
And he, I mean, that was a very good match. And it was a great, you can see, I mean, Lincoln Allen is working on his craft. And he was excellent, though. You got the most expression out of Lincoln.
Yeah.
And he is Durag's protege.
Yes.
So with Durag injuring his ankle in extracurricular events.
Yes. Crazy Kyle, as he was wrestling as last night. Was there, and yeah, he did some amazing, it was really, really, a really, really fun event to watch that. So we're super glad that we went.
Yeah. And I want to buy, Lincoln Allen / Crazy Kyle some branded Durags.
Yes.
Especially because he's a white boy wearing a Durag, I feel like there are a bunch of wannabe hood boys that would buy Durags.
I was gonna say a kinship to you because I know when you clean.
Yeah, I wear a Durag. Yep. I'm a Durag dude.
You are.
I like them. We're not allowed to call them Durags as white people though. I'm supposed to call it like a headscarf or
I don't know.
Head covered. I don't know, like a bandana maybe, because I may have adrenaline in my soul, but it don't have any melatonin.
Sure.
Greg's like, please change the subject. This is too awkward. Shall we go into SmackDown? Do we have to?
Yeah. So so at this point of the evening, we are exhausted. Myself and Brad are kind of wiped. So we grab an Uber back to our hotel room. Randy and Eric, we bid them goodnight. We come up over the stairs and like within 15 minutes of hitting the room.
Okay. Oh, dude, you were very generous. You said 15 minutes. I had to set up your CPAP. And I literally just went and grabbed my earplugs and my night mask. And I swear to you, I was gone.
I quickly called my wife just to let her know. Eating our breakfast. We're home.
And ready to go for the day.
Heading to bed.
It made me look bad. I'd call you. You know how I feel like we should grade this SmackDown, Greg?
But it was like after midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I mean, we were kind of taking notes and stuff as we went.
No, it was like 11:30 things.
But yeah, okay.
Because really, this show comes down to... I mean, I say it's unfair because during the beginning of the show, we're much more focused as we're eating and taking notes. But near the end of the show, it dragged.
A little bit.
So normally we do a speed round, but we're way past speed round time, Greg. So let's just roll through the show. We're not going to give you the most detailed notes because we definitely are not taking the most detailed notes. And also I'm realizing I still got to edit this before the boys get here. So let's talk about the first part of tonight was Cody getting a room upgrade.
Yes.
Cody arrives tonight and he's been informed that he gets his own private dressing room.
Yes.
And shenanigans. And this is one of the two through lines for the show. One is, what will Cody's decision be tomorrow?
Right.
And the other through line is, I think Shinsuke Nakamura couldn't make it to Canada, so we had to come up with a one-night tournament for the U.S. title number one contendership.
And I'm fine with that.
So Trish Stratus is here in her hometown, and she is in a Toronto Maple Leaf shirt, Greg.
Yes, and this is where Brad looks at me and says, well, you know, Trish isn't going to win because she's wearing a Leafs jersey.
Ba-dum-bump. I'm not adding sound effects in either today.
Nope.
So there's lots of jokes about that. And then Tiffy comes out in her Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
Dear God. And yeah, this is when you're like, okay.
Is it Tiffy time or Trish time? It's Trishy Tiffy time. And they're doing it in sync. They kiss the jerseys. They throw them away, which is what everybody should do with the Toronto Maple Leaf jerseys.
That was the best part once they got rid of the Toronto Maple Leafs jerseys.
The winner is Chelsea Green, who comes out in her half American, half Canadian gear. She gets a big reaction, but then she starts healing on the city, talking about how, you know, there's no winners in this town, comparing herself to Austin Matthews.
Yeah, yeah. And Austin Matthews, unlike Austin Matthews, she's actually a champion. Yeah, love it.
So there's a match here, but I realize this is like the first of like four or five schmazes on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was what it needed to be. So the heels from come out and attack, Nia Jax and Candice LeRae attack and beat up everybody. And Chelsea's there, but she really rolls out of the way. The only other thing that we didn't cover was the fact that Piper Niven, dressed as security, was dressed as a Mountie tonight.
Yes, and was missing the electric cattle prod, and that made me sad, because I think she should have had the Mountie's cattle prod.
She had a cattle prod. It was just a little whippy one, not the big zappy one.
No, she needs the electric one like the Mountie had.
Anyways, there was no match here, and this basically set up a big spot where we were going to get a moonsault, and Nia staves Candice, and the heels retreat.
Yep.
Great. So, one night tournament, as we alluded to, we're going to get three singles matches that lead to a trios match, and couldn't remember, I didn't write any of that down, so let's just keep going to the fact that Greg and I went on a side tangent about how we want R-Truth to tag with John Cena.
Yes, yes, because this is where we get to the backstage part with Cody Rhodes in his cocktail bar, and R-Truth is in there, you know, just eating up shrimp and sushi and everything else. And God, I love R-Truth.
I'm so happy he's on our show.
It's so, so happy.
And then he's like, man, maybe you should take the Rock's deal, because this is the kind of benefits you get, brother.
Yeah, and he wanted jelly rolls next or something?
Yeah, he wanted jelly rolls added to the buffet. But yeah. Truth was smart. He was eating the shrimp. He was protein loading.
Yeah, yeah.
So we finished that, and then we go into Andrade versus Jacob Fatu.
Yes.
This is after the fact that originally it was Solo that was going to be in this, but he put Jacob in it, called to play so that Jacob could become the U.S. champ. And there's a lot of Andrade high spots. There's a commercial break, but this match ends with Jacob hitting an Impaler DDT and his incredible moonsault. And then Greg points out something that I've never thought about before.
This is the stuff that makes me kind of pull what little hair I have left on my head out. So
whoa, we're going to call this, I'm actually going to credit the source. So we had a conversation earlier in the night with Donnie in the room, and Donnie talked about one of his roles as Superkick is to make sure that people aren't working the same body part, that they coordinate their finishes.
Yeah.
And I feel like Donnie should have been booking, at least been brought in as a consultant for SmackDown last night.
Because obviously, you know, when you have Tiffy there, she has the world's prettiest moonsault. And honestly, I don't think that there's one better at this point right now.
But there's one more devastating, and I think Jacob's
definitely
just because of his size.
Definitely. But Andrade hit his own moonsault in this match. Yeah,
he hit his double moonsault.
Andrade hit the double moonsault. Fatu hit a moonsault, and it's like, okay, but like who's going to be the moonsault person? And it should be Tiffy at this point. That's her move.
Yeah, Jacob.
Jacob has enough shit that he can do.
Yeah. So, anyways. Or Andrade doesn't need to use his moonsault.
Yeah. I just like pick it.
So Greg went off a little bit there, and he was not wrong. So Donnie, there you go. You've passed on some knowledge that we use tonight. So and then we're supposed to have a tag match after the fact that Legado confronts the Street Profits, saying that the Street Profits are mad they didn't get their tag match. Legado wants an apology, and this leads to Legado versus the Street Profits, which leads to
schmoz.
Yeah, another schmoz. Everybody's fighting. And none of these guys are on the PLE. So they all got flown to Canada to have a brawl.
You would swear that there was kung fu being done.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yep.
Do. Okay, that's enough. All right, Craig, I just looked at this and I was like, this is, what the hell is this here for?
What's this? The
No, the tag, like this tag thing. I was thinking about, like, they flew 10 wrestlers, yeah, put them up in hotels, whatever, just schmoz.
Whatever.
Padding the show. Adding the show. On the other hand, there was way less recaps.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all. So this is where we have Cody and Drew meet in the back, and Cody says to Drew, or Drew says to Cody, really says, explains to him, you know, you're not this kind of guy, you shouldn't sell out. It was very interesting to see kind of heel and face dynamic there.
Yeah.
And then Drew apparently just keeps walking and walks out to the arena, and he gives the best line. You live long enough to be either die as a hero or live long enough to become a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And he calls out John Cena for calling his shot into this match.
Right.
And this becomes so we've already had our John Cena highlight package, and Drew literally rolled out, cuts a promo on John Cena.
Right.
He doesn't get very far because Damian Priest comes out.
Was it Priest is next?
Yeah, Priest is next. And what does Priest say anything other than the fact that he beat Damian in this one, and they reminisce about their last match in Toronto?
I don't know. I was going to say Damian Priest interrupts Drew and says that R-Truth's behavior makes more sense from the McIntyres.
Yeah. And then we get Seth Rollins. I love Seth Rollins' gear. Greg goes mild.
I cannot handle Seth Rollins anymore.
Why don't you like Seth Rollins anymore?
Listen, when the wife is a better wrestler and frankly has much better gear, then you're just mid to me.
Sounds good to me. At this point, if you're going to have Seth Rollins out, you have to have CM Punk out.
Yes.
And CM Punk comes out and he's going to win the Elimination Chamber and make his way to WrestleMania.
Right. Mm-hmm.
After Seth said he's not talking about the past. And then Seth immediately starts talking about the past because he's fixated. He's like, anybody else can win, but you're not going to win. Drew McIntyre is sitting on the table, and Damian Priest has been calling him out for being a Punk ripoff. And those two are arguing. And then all of a sudden, John Cena's music hits.
That's right. And the crowd goes wild.
But, come on, Greg, finish it.
And then Logan Paul comes out.
And the crowd goes even wilder.
That's right.
So I'm putting this out here. There was nothing Logan Paul said in this promo that made him a heel.
Yeah. Paul refused to dress CM Punk, made fun of Rollins' attire, and says Damian Priest is irrelevant, and ran away after Punk tried to chase him.
And he called out John Cena for being a part-timer and that he's a full-timer. And he made fun of the Toronto Maple Leafs, which, frankly, outside of the GTA, makes everybody else smile.
Easy picking.
And we all agree. We're all nodding our heads.
Low-hanging
fruit. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then he got out of there. And that was the end of that segment. Yeah. It was perfect for hype. And Logan Paul is my new favorite wrestler.
He's something. We'll see him tonight.
Elimination Chamber kickoff had led to a fight, which is going to lead to a 6-woman tag. Owens and Zayn promo.
No, first you got the LA Knight and Santos.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That one, this is where I started, my notes started drifting off, and all I wrote for this one was Logan Paul hits,
LA Knight.
LA Knight hits a cutter out of nowhere.
BFT out of nowhere.
It looked more like an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah. This Louisiana Knight beat Santo Escobar.
And I feel so bad for Santos because he's a good wrestler, but also, it was not a good night to be a Latino in Canada.
Apparently.
Like, being a Latino in Canada, like, may have been, there was not a lot of wins for them last night.
Nope.
Greg's not going to jump into this discussion.
No. Just going to leave that.
Leave it there on the floor.
Yeah.
So this is where we get Owen and Zayn. Greg. Yes,
this is where Sammy comes out.
Yeah, and Sammy's in his arena. He's getting a big applaud. And he knows that...
Hold on. The first thing I noticed was while Toronto is, you know, singing Sammy's song, it's nothing compared to Sammy in Montreal.
That's because Toronto doesn't know how to sing for joy.
Toronto does not know how to experience joy in a hockey arena.
That's for sure. Not since television was in black and white.
And then barely. Buggy.
And back when trolleys ruled the city and there was no skyscrapers, no Sky Dome, no CN Tower. All of these things. And the Maple Leaf Gardens was still the place where wrestling and hockey was king.
Yep.
So... nothing really happened in this promo other than Sammy pouring his heart out. He wants to face Kevin face-to-face so they can say it. And Kevin is already over in the dome cutting his promo. And he is not going to feel sorry for what he does.
Nope.
He is not going to apologize. And he's not going to take care of Sammy's family.
Correct.
And Sammy then rebuts, says, you're not supposed to say you're nervous before a big match. But he was nervous. He was nervous because he's going to do things to Kevin Owens that he's going to have to learn to live with for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he's good. And he already is filled with regret for how much he's going to hurt Owens.
Yep.
This could be, Jimmy called it on the main show, I think that this is going to be the best show of the night.
The best match? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have no doubt. I am excited for this one tonight.
So we're getting ready now for our 6-woman tag.
Oh, first we get Miz and Carmelo in the back.
I forgot all about this. And then they're practicing their lines like Melo don't Miz. And
what was the other one?
It was another really good one. They landed it.
Yeah.
And
it was something for him.
Oh, yeah. Miz is
him.
No. Greg, you have it.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. So they cut a great promo. See, this is where I started drifting off and I started looking at my phone more than taking my notes.
Yeah.
So Liv, Raquel Rodriguez, and oh my gosh, we Roxanne Perez who gets the pinfall in this match.
Oh, versus, no, before that, you got to do the U.S. Championship round three.
Oh, did that match happen before that?
Yeah.
I thought it happened afterwards.
No, before.
Oh, we had the... Yes, because right after that, Carmelo comes out, and Carmelo versus Braun Strowman. And at this point, you can see the Bloodline plan come in. They are going to attack Braun with a steel chair. They hit him. Solo hits him, and Braun doesn't react at all.
Right.
But the chair ends up through all the Bloodline shenanigans in the ring. And Carmelo Hayes, in the smartest move I've ever seen...
channeling his inner Eddie Guerrero,
hits the chair against the thing and then lies down while he's holding.
He throws the chair to Braun
after he hits the mat and then lies down holding his head as if he's been smashed. Yeah. And I literally lied down on the bed when I was cutting that. So sorry about that if the audio went but it was perfect. And it covered everything, Greg.
He didn't even break a sweat in this match.
And it meant that Braun didn't have to bump.
Yeah, Braun didn't have to bump. Carmelo. Like, literally was in the ring for, what, minute and a half here before this all happened?
5 minutes max.
I don't know.
And it was beautiful. It got Carmelo further, which made the three-way match way better. And it protected Braun. It was great.
Yeah.
Braun didn't lose anything losing to Carmelo. Carmelo actually is now beating Braun a lot, which is funny. Okay, now we get to the women's match, which I really enjoyed this match. Bianca, Naomi, and Bayley lose to Liv, Raquel, and... Roxanne Perez. Roxanne Perez hits the Pop Rocks for the win. It's great. It's a great match. Go back. This would probably be one of the better matches of the night. And then, of course, at the end, Alexa sneaks in because she's the sixth woman in the Elimination Chamber, and she hits Sister Abigail.
The Abigail DDT. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Sister Abigail. Yeah, it's like a version. It's a twist on the Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
And she leaves Raquel or Roxanne Lang.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about who we think is going to win in about 4 minutes.
Okay.
So, Andrade versus LA Knight, we already covered. So now we're down to the last match of tonight.
Yeah.
Which was LA Knight versus Carmelo Hayes and versus the first winner of the night, Jacob Fatu. This was a good match.
Yes.
What was your highlight of this match, Greg?
Highlight of this match, I actually think that the ending was the best part of this match.
Go ahead.
So, the ending of this match was, Jacob Fatu...
Hits his beautiful
moonsault again, right?
Moonsault number 5 of the night.
On Carmelo. LA Knight pulls him out of... He's going to pin Carmelo, but he's near the corner. So LA Knight grabs him, pulls him out of the ring.
Throws him into the steps? Or is it
didn't even manage to throw him really anywhere.
Just pushed him out of the way. Basically. And then dives back in and gets the cover. And then runs away as fast as humanly possible. And
boots it out of there. So.
Oh, it's great.
Yep.
And so LA Knight... So nothing changes. LA Knight still gets his U.S. title match. But now it looks like he beat basically most of the mid-card in order to earn his title match.
Yep, so there. That's where we are.
And we then head to our main event segment, which is the part that this show went off cliff. Cody Rhodes comes down to the ring, and Michael Cole's kind of grilling him about what decision is he going to make. How is he going to choose? This is after he's interacted with CM Punk in the back, and CM Punk says, I know you. Young Cody would have told The Rock to take, would have told him to stick his offer. He's like, I want you to take The Rock's offer. I want you to take it. Turn it sideways, shine it up real nice, and we all know what he wanted. Where he wanted him, the Sick Rocks offer.
That's right.
So Cody's out. Michael grills him, and then it turns out that before Cody really gets to talk, Michael Cole gets told, "Hey, we have a gift for you, and it's a truck."
Yeah.
Greg, do you want to try and guess what vehicle this was?
This was a Cody Rhodes pimped his ride. Or The Rock pimped Cody's ride with Cody Rhodes' American Nightmare written all over it, red Ford F-150 or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It may have been a Chevy, it may have been a Dodge, but Greg and I are car guys. And then The Rock cuts the worst promo because it had to be, like, no matter what our podcast sounds like, it won't sound worse than The Rock's one. Because they were next to a jet with a jet engine. So you could tell that they had already tried to figure out how to isolate The Rock's voice. It was crappy. And The Rock is flying to Toronto, and he wants him to be his brother. He wants him to be his cousin. His doesn't want him to break his heart. And he's going to give him a special weightlifting belt, which has Dusty's death date on it. Because that day, that The Rock's heart was broken because Dusty died, and he doesn't want Cody to break his heart in Toronto.
Yep. So.
So go back. You can go back. I highly recommend going back. Watch it. If you're going to watch Elimination Chamber, put this on instead of the pre-show and watch it on Netflix at 1.5, like, just like we did.
100%. 100%. So let's go through tonight's chamber.
Sure. Why don't you look up the matches, right, and I will make a note.
A few minutes later.
Greg, this was a lot longer than we intended it to be. We are now approaching 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's go through these matches that are listed as of noon on Saturday on the website.
We could have a very expensive bet for this. You know that.
I do not want to bet anything near this because collecting on a bet right now could end up with us going and doing things we probably shouldn't.
Oh, I meant that if we just bet a beer, whoever has to buy the loser a beer at Skydome would be like, it's like a $50 bet.
Oh, it's like us going to AEW and paying $60 for two beers at those Sam Adams. So, all right. Let's go through this. So, let's start with the Tiffy Stratton and Trish Stratus versus Nia Jax and Candice LeRae tag team match.
So, I think we're both in agreement that you wear Toronto Maple Leaf jerseys and you lose.
I, as much as I hate that, yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
I think Trish is taking the pin.
Possibly. I mean, it would be nice and feel good if... I think this is going to be your cool-down match, I think. I think this is the second match on the show after one of the first chambers.
Okay. And speaking of which, let's start with the women's chamber.
Okay. So
because the women's chamber, I think, will kick off tonight.
Okay. Liv, Bianca, Alexa... Bailey, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez.
Okay. Greg, do you have a pick here? Oh, I have a pick. I think Alexa's winning this. Because you can...
This would take on Rhea, right?
Winner's going to take, theoretically, on Rhea, unless we're going to get a title switch. But I would say Rhea. 95%.
So, I think... This is going to be Bianca.
Okay. And who attacked Jade?
I think this is... Jade was attacked by Bianca. I think that Bianca's going to come out with the win tonight.
Oh. So I think that Naomi attacked Jade. And we're going to get Naomi and Jade at WrestleMania. And Bianca's going to be torn and try and stay out of it. But she's, and she could go on to fight there. But I think it's going to be Alexa Bliss because we're going to get some sort of Wyatt involvement. And that's how the spookiness can help her deal with the fact that she's would be outmatched by Rhea Ripley.
See, I think it's going to be Alexa and Roxanne moving forward. So that really puts us as Liv or Bailey kind of left in your scenario.
Yep.
And Liv's already got a championship process to run through with Raquel. So, I mean, maybe it's Bailey that comes out of this.
So, Bailey and Roxanne have been feuding on NXT, and that's unresolved. So, and I think that's where those two are spilling off.
That could go too, right? So, I don't know. This is a really good... So,
we're here sitting here going, there's six women there. We feasibly could see anybody, maybe other than Naomi and, I would say, Liv Morgan. I would say those are the two that are the lowest in probability. If I was betting, I would not bet on either of them.
Yeah, but there's arguments to be made for every one of these that could actually work. So I think that that's exactly what you want.
So next, we talk about the... Let's leave the men's chamber match till after we talk about the street fight.
The unsanctioned match. So this is Sammy versus Kevin.
It's unsanctioned because a street fight is one thing. Unsanctioned is different. So... how does the match end? Because I think that determines who wins.
I don't know if we know. That's the problem.
So I'm thinking, I like the idea I heard on the main show with Jimmy and Donnie. I think Donnie and Jimmy talked about the possibility that this is where Orton appears, and that's how Sammy wins.
Possibly. Or this is Orton appears, he takes out Sammy to go after Kevin.
That's another possibility.
Right.
So I don't think we need to pick this match. I think we can just go leave those two scenarios there. The other option is that Kevin Owens wins and goes on the face of Orton, and Orton's not involved in anything.
Kevin Owens could win this clean. I don't see a scenario where Sammy wins this clean.
No, there's no scenario where Kevin wins. Because Sammy is an underdog, and it won't hurt him to do that. The only problem with this is I have no idea what they're doing with... I think Kevin Owens and Randy Orton are a match at WrestleMania. I do not want to see... Sami Zayn spinoff with Karrion Kross.
Yeah, no. All right, let's go. Let's move on to the men's match, the men's chamber. So this is Cena, Punk, McIntyre, Paul, Priest, and Rollins.
I'm going to say I truly believe that CM Punk is not winning this. I think until yesterday I thought it was John Cena, but now I think there's a distinct possibility. So I'm between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. I think one of them is going to side with The Rock and become The Rock's chosen one to take Cody out.
So I'm leaning towards, I initially was 100% saying like, this has got to be John Cena. I've now have moved into the camp of Drew McIntyre. I think this is Drew and Cody going forward. And I don't know how we pull Cena back in and what Cena's going to do for Mania, but I really think this is going to be Drew. And I'm not even sure what the fuck they're going to do with this whole Cody Soul thing. And I'm not looking forward to that tonight, if I'm being honest.
If you listen to the main show, I think it's more this is like a mafiosa thing. It's a Godfather, make them an offer you can't refuse kind of thing. So he's going to, Rock's going to pick a champion. What if it's John Cena? And John Cena, we get the John Cena heel turn for a part of this run.
I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I don't see it.
There's too much money to be made selling his merch.
Yeah.
And the fans don't want to boo Cena. So, I mean...
Well, Punk, I mean, they do, but they don't, right?
They want to boo, like, kind of way. Punk. I really think it could be Punk tonight. I think Punk turn heel and...
See, I think you've got Punk, I think you've got Rollins, I think you've got Roman Reigns setting up for Mania, and you could put Drew in that mix as well.
Okay, so, yeah, and I think that's the most interesting thing about this year's WrestleMania is there's everybody you just named needs a match.
Yeah.
And most of them need either a singles match or a big tag match. There's a lot of bodies to get on that card.
There is. So that's why it's now two nights. Wait till they decide that they're going to make it three nights. So
week-long WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's what we're getting to. Okay, we should get ready and shut this down and get ready to head out to our first event of the day.
Right, so we're going to see the Raw Dogs in a few minutes. Listen to their show on Mondays. Tuesday mornings as they break down Monday Night Raw. You can listen to Storytime with Jimmy, which comes out on Sunday mornings. I'm sure that we'll get some Toronto-centric story this week. And then, because if we met to... If this was like 4 hours later, we would know what the story was. And listen to Donnie and Jimmy on TSN Radio, but also on here on The Hub. They'll be covering the main show and talking about all of the fallout. And I'm sure some great stories from their experience at Elimination Chamber.
And we may be back later. We'll see.
We the ones.